Okay, what time? It's a very interesting, has a very interesting point to Shema Shmuel, which is very, really relevant to us, very much so. You know, the which mitzvah is known as the mitzvah of Avram Avinu? In the 613 mitzvahs, which mitzvah is known as his mitzvah? What are you saying? Achnasas Orchim? Any other ideas? Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Okay, another idea?
Bismillah.
Right. Okay, so we're going to focus on the Bismillah. All three are right, but the Bismillah, and we make a bracha, we say, Hashem Kachan, Mitzvah Sivanu, Lachniso, Bivriso, Shal Avram Avinu. So we actually make a bracha, we say that the Bismillah is the Bris of Avram Avinu. So that's the only mitzvah, I don't have any other mitzvah in the Torah where we put a person's name on it. You know, put a person's name in any other mitzvah. It's amazing that he gets his name. The name of that mitzvah is the Bris of Avram Avinu. So it's a very interesting thing. So, and it's in this week's parasha, of course. So, Shema Shmuel wants to give us a little bit of an insight. Why is it that Avram Avinu Tafka is the one who has that Bris of Bris Mila? And why do we commemorate this for all time? You have any ideas?
He did it himself. It's the first one.
Okay, first time, first one, did it himself. Another idea, you could say Rashi's idea. Rashi says that this, and this is going to lead us into Shema Shmuel, that Rashi says Avraham Avinu had perfected all of his Evarim, all of his different limbs to do Hashem's Ratzon, except the area of the Bris Mila, and through the Bris Mila, he perfected that area too. And then when he did that, his name was Avraham. Avraham is the Gematria 248. 248, the person has 248 Evarim. So when he was mashed on the Bris Mila, he now had control of 248 Evarim. And there was a few things that he didn't control that Hashem gave him as a blessing. The two eyes and the two ears, because you really can't control what your eyes see, what your ears hear. Hashem gave it to him as a gift after the Bris Mila. He gave him the hay. Amen. Now you have five more of the area of the Bris Mila, and the two eyes and the two ears. Now you have 248. So he was, like, so to speak, with complete control. Complete control. Maybe you could even say that one of the main challenge that we have is how do we get complete control over every aspect of our being? And Avraham Avinu, he achieved that with the Bris Mila. Okay. Now, Shema Shmuel has a very interesting point that he wants to make about this. A very interesting thing. He says, we see like this. In this week's Pascha, you also have, there's a big war between the four kings and five kings. And the four kings defeat the five kings, and they capture Lot, and then Avram goes and saves Lot, and he defeats the four kings. Now, that story with the four kings, all the Chazal already saying, the Medrash, and Ramban, and Chumash makes a big deal out of it, that the four kings represent the four Malchios. They're going to be four kingdoms over time that subjugate Am Yisrael. After Mitzrayim, there's first one is Babel, right? The Babylonians. They destroyed basically the Shavishon. Then during that Golos, they were replaced by the Persians, which was Haman, right? Then after Persia, we came back to the Second Temple. And then you have Yavon, the Greeks, and then finally the last one is Edom, the Romans, which is the Golos of nowadays. So this is traditional, so a tradition that we have called the four kingdoms, the four Malchios, which will control Eretz Yisrael. And Sefer Daniel, there's apparently it's a reference to the four kings. So it's Bavel, Bavel, Paras, Yavon, and Edom. Now, actually, in the Shem Shmuel also, these four kings, or four kingdoms, or four galios, are four challenges to Jewish survival. Four different levels. What are the four levels of the Jewish soul? Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya. It's physical, emotional, Nefesh, Ruach, intellectual, Neshama, and Chaya is spiritual. So we have four levels of our soul. Each of the kingdoms challenges us on a different level. So the Babylonians, they attacked us. They were terrible. They were killing the Jews, massacres. They were the original Holocaust idea. So that would be the Nefesh. Then the Persians, they had this whole thing with opulence and wealth and living good and getting drunk and women and all of that. So that would be the emotional challenge against the Jews. Right? That's the Ruach. Then Yavon, that's the intellectual, because the Greeks, they had science, philosophy, math. So they were challenging the Jewish intellectual agenda. Right, so that's the neshama. And then finally Edom, which is what we have today, is everything put together and raised to another level. So Edom attacks us physically and emotionally and intellectually. Everything is spiritually, every level is an Edom. And it's the longest also. Okay. Now, Avraham Avinu, he conquers the four kingdoms. So that's what the Ramban says. The Ramban gives a major rule. He says that all the stories that we have in Sefer Bereishis with the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Ma'aseh Avos, Simon, Labanim. Anything which happened to the Avos is a symbolic, allegorical, prophetic play of what will happen with the Jewish people over time. So over time, so since Avraham Avinu fights these four kings and defeats them, that means that over Jewish history, Jews will have to face four different kingdoms, as we explained, every level of challenge, physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual. And we will defeat them. We will survive Babylon, we will survive Paras, we will survive the Greeks, and we'll survive Edom. And at the end, we will defeat them. Okay.
Where is the Ramban?
Ramban right here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He explains it. Explains because he gives us a cloud, says it's a cloud, it's a basic rule to understand all of Sefer Bereishis, that Ma'aseh Avos, Simon, Levanim, whatever happens to the Avos is a sign for the children, because they were Nevi'im, so their Nevuah was a play. Their lives was a really a living out prophecy. So it seems, whatever it seems on the surface, was really a prophecy for future things. Ma'aseh Avos, Simon, Levanim. Okay, so now here he says a very interesting thing. The Shem Shmuel, he says that first, maybe very early in the parasha, after Avram comes to Eretz Canaan, almost immediately he goes down to Mitzrayim because there's a hunger. He can't stay there. People are dying. So he has to go to Mitzrayim to get food. That's also a Ma'aseh Avos, Simon, Labanim. It's a sign that Yaakov and his children will go down to Mitzrayim. Sarah being captured by Paro is a sign that the Jews will be slaves. Paro being punished is a sign that the Egyptians will be punished for enslaving the Jews. And when he leaves with gifts, Avram, it's a sign when the Jews leave Egypt, the Egyptians will give them gifts. So that's this whole story of going to Mitzrayim. It is a sipur of Yeridah le Mitzrayim and Yetzias Mitzrayim generations later. That's what the Ramban says. But what the Shem Shmuel has a very interesting look at this. Okay, there are three, four. We speak about four kingdoms. So the four kingdoms, they're physical, and you know, as you said, physical, emotional, etc., challenges. But they also represent four major sins Okay, there are four major sins, because we have Avodah Zarah, Gilara'i, Shvichas Damim, and Lashon Hara. These are the four big sins which cause Jews trouble. Any one of the four, or a combination of four, we're in deep trouble. And that could cause galus. That could cause real child punishment. Avodah Zarah, Gilara'i, Shvichas Damim, or Lashon Hara. The Gemara says that the galus today is Lashon Hara, sin aschinam. Is that because of Avodah Zarah, Gilara'i? Anytime one of us says something nasty to another Jew, we're literally creating more galus. It makes us stay. We're going to stay in the galus longer because we're adding to the sin of sin aschinam. Anytime we do anything to hurt another Jew, to embarrass another Jew in public, make a joke about somebody behind his back, in front of him, is even worse. We're creating more punishment because that's what we're here for this aveira. That's why this aveira is so prevalent and so hard to fix, because this is the sin of all these generations since destruction of the Second Temple till today. And it's very hard to see how people can, but I'm telling you that it's possible to get out of it if you make a strong decision not to talk nasty things about other Jews. You can accomplish it. I'm telling you can do it. It's not easy, but you can do it. Anyway, that's the big sin of our galus. But Avodah Zarah, for example, Bayis Rishon, the Tanakh says we're full of Avodah Zarah. That's why the Babylonians came. Okay. And in fact, it says Bayis Rishon had all three sins of Avodah Zarah, Gilurai, Shvichas Damim. So that could be why it created Bavel, Paras, and Yavon. Okay. Now, Avodah Zarah, Gilurai, Shvichas Damim is also different levels. Avodah Zarah is the intellectual sin of false philosophy, and then Gilurai is the sin of corruption of the emotions, and Shvichas Damim, of course, is physical. Okay. Now, before everything starts, Avodah goes down to Mitzrayim. All of these things I told you is like fundamental background things that we have to know for Hasidus. So now, Avraham Avinu goes down to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is the grandfather of all the Goliath. Anything which could go wrong was in Mitzrayim. That's why later on, it's considered like the model of the future four Goliath. That's what this Zohar and the Kabbalah Hasidus says. Okay, however, Mitzrayim had everything. They were, the Egyptians, they did everything. They did Avodah Zarah, of course. They had Shvichas Damim. They had enslaved people, killed people. They were an empire. To make an empire, you have to kill a lot of people. And Gilurai Ra'is. We see from the story of Yosef that promiscuity, there was no such a thing as sexual loyalty to your husband, to your wife. It was all, do what you want. It's Gilurai Ra'is. That you see from the story of Yosef. So basically, in the Kabbalah, they say, because Yosef uses an expression to his brothers, he says, Ervas ha'aretz basam liros. You came to see the erva of the land, the nakedness of this country. So, of course, he means they're spies. But the Kabbalah takes that as a statement that this country is the source of gilurai, of nakedness, of no sexual morality, of immorality. Ervas ha'aretz. Mitzrayim is considered to be the source of Gilurai. We know from the story of Yosef, we see that that was a big thing there.
Right. Historically, I think it's very documented also that like the pharaohs, in order to get more power, would like marry their sisters and things.
Oh, really? Good. Okay, that's good. Good to know. Thank you. And they probably had Mishkav Zohar too, a lot of homosexuality, because it says that Potiphar was Swiss Paro. Swiss means he was castrated by Paro. So I don't know, but it seems that there was a lot of homosexuality from that. Okay. In any event, yeah, so it's considered to be the source of Gilurai. So he says an amazing thing here, because I think it's amazing because it's so relevant. He says, Shem Shmuel. He says, Amrin went down to Mitzrayim first. When he comes back, then he fights the four kings. He says he goes down to Mitzrayim in order to stand up against the test of Gilurai. Now, Avodah Zarah, Avraham Avinu already conquered when he was back in Ur Kasdim. Shvichas Dam is nothing to talk about. He's not going to be a murderer, Avraham Avinu. Anyway, they try to kill him. But Gilu Arayis seems, it seems that over there, back in Haran, there the people were okay with Gilu Arayis. They were not immoral. There they had families with Haraya. Avraham Avinu tells Eliezer to find a wife for Yitzchak, go back to Haran. There, that country seems to be okay. He didn't trust the Canaanim, because the Canaanim were also terrible in Gilu Arayis. As you say, brothers and sisters, you don't know who a father is, who a mother is. You don't know everybody is illegitimate. That was their culture. And apparently Mitzrayim was like that. Mitzrayim had a lot of hashpah in Canaan. Canaan and Mitzrayim are the same family. They come from Chum. Mitzrayim and Canaan are the same family. So they come from Chum. So they were that kind of culture, very promiscuous. However, back in Haran, which was Haran was the area of shame. Shame, the people there, the children of shame, they were okay on family. That's why you see Avraham Avinu has a family, Terach has a family, his brother Nachah has a family, they have regular families. So that was from shame. They got from Noach and from shame. So that was okay. But the problem, but Mitzrayim was from Chum. Chum, according to the Kabbalah, we see Chum with Noach, also did something, whether it was homosexuality or castration, it was something immoral, a sexual immoral thing that he was involved with, Chum.
Because his name
is
like depicted, like
Cham
means like hot, like he was
exactly hot. So it's passion. So that's why that was their veir of Cham is Gilu Arayos, and that was Mitzrayim, and that was Canaan. So Avraham Avinu, he in a certain way was never really tested in that area. He was tested with Avodah Zarah. He was tested Shvichas Damim. Nimrod was a shofar for Shvichas Damim, so he didn't. So he didn't give in to that culture of Shvichas Damim and Avodah Zarah. However, Gilu Arayis was the test which he apparently didn't have. So he says that's why he went to Mitzrayim. Hashem put him into the source, the center of all the Gilu Arayis, where he says, I have a problem with you. You're my wife, but they're going to kidnap you. Who knows what? They'll rape you, whatever. And they'll kill me. So he had a big Gilu Arayis issue there in Mitzrayim. Even says a chiddush, which I never would have said myself. Says Rashi says, I guess I heard also from Rabbi Wolfson, but Rabbi Wolfson must have taken it from the Shem Mishmur. It says when Avraham Avinu goes down to Mitzrayim, he says to his wife, "Ato yodati ki isha yifas merat. Now I know you're a beautiful woman. We have to worry about it because a beautiful woman, they'll kidnap you." So Rashi says, why does he see where Ato Yadati? Now I know. He's married to him decades. He should have. He's Ato Yadati. Now I know. Rashi says because he really never looked at her in a certain way. But now on the way down, all of a sudden he noticed something about her that she's very attractive. It's a funny Rashi.
Is it that Avraham learned from them because they looked at her as a beautiful woman, or is it that the fact that he went to Mitzrayim? And that
that's what the Chassidim, the Shem Shmuel, and Rabbi Wolfson after him say. Because he went to Mitzrayim and he was literally almost there, so the evil atmosphere of Mitzrayim even was attacking him. Now all of a sudden he should look at his wife as a beauty. Till now he looked at his wife as a tzedekus. That's what attracted him to her. She was a wonderful person. He wasn't so focused on her physical appearance. But because it's Egypt, and in Egypt that's what they're all into, so that affected him. All of a sudden he sees the same thing. That was part of his nisayon. That's what the Hasidim say. Yes?
We see the same concept applies nowadays.
That's why I said this is a very good piece. This is an excellent piece because it's so relevant to us. That's why I picked it, because it's very relevant to us. So because of that, so Mamela Amavina was tested, and anyway he goes through Mitzrayim and comes out and he's okay. Apparently he didn't give in. She of course didn't give in to the Gilu Arayis, the whole story, the whole episode. She was kidnapped and she wouldn't give in, and Hashem saved her in a miraculous way, because Amavina and Sheba, they both withstood the test of Gilu Arayis. They didn't give in. So Don't forget, she's kidnapped. She's threatened with death if she doesn't give in to the power. And you don't know if she and Avram, they, at that point, they didn't have the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. And even a woman, Tosfos says a woman, according to Halacha, doesn't have to give up her life for Gilu Arayos. Only a man is not allowed to commit Gilu Arayos. He has to let himself be killed. But a woman, like Esther, went to Achashverosh. So, because the woman is passive, and she's more passive. Since she's more passive than the man, so the Halacha of Gilu Arayos wasn't said in terms of Yehorik Val Yavah. She doesn't have to give up her life. That's what Tosfos says. The Rambam doesn't hold like that, Tosfos. The Rambam holds even a woman has to give up her life in Gilu Arayos. But Tosfos says that a woman doesn't have to. But anyway, they weren't Jewish, Avram and Sarah. So right. Goyim in general don't have a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Goyim is not the seven mitzvahs B'nai Noach. So if a Goy is threatened with his life, he can't kill somebody because that's a svara, but he could maybe have a desire or not. But let's say he could eat Avram and Achai to save his life. He could probably do Gilu Arayos to save his life. There's no mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. So Avram, she didn't have to do it, but she wouldn't give in. There was some Mesiris Nefesh, so, and Avraham Avinu also had his life on the line there because they would kill him. So they went through the test of Gilu Arayos. So he says, since they went through the test of Gilu Arayos, that was the Zechus that he now can fight the four kings and defeat them. That test of Gilu Arayos is the test to go through and defeat the four kings. Especially the last one, the fourth king, which is Edom, which is our ghost. He says that the big test, that just we say my saw a similar bunny. So because Avram and Sarah were able to withstand this test of immorality, that was the zechus that he's able to defeat the four kings. And he says that's also going to be says like this, it's a very good point he says that the end of days when Mashiach will come and defeat the last enemy of Israel, which is Edom. So it says in the Gemara a few places, and this is a very strong idea in the Kabbalah and Zohar and the Chassidus, that there'll be a Mashiach called Mashiach ben Yosef. The Mashiach from Yosef, he will defeat Edom, and then Mashiach ben David will come and build the base of Mikdash. But the one who's going to defeat the enemy of Israel, the Edomites, is going to be the Mashiach ben Yosef. Coming from Yosef. So the question is, why from Yosef? What's wrong with Mashiach ben David? Why Dafke Yosef?
Because it's the problem of this generation.
Exactly. Because the problem of Gilu Arayos is going to be the big, big, big issue right before Mashiach. And since Yosef was the paradigm and model of the one who stands up against Gilu Arayos, because he was all alone in Egypt for 20 odd years, and there he was continuously tested by women trying to seduce him and other things, and he withstood that test. So he's called Tzaddik. Yosef is called Yosef HaTzaddik, and he stands up against the test of Gilu Arayos. And because of that, he is Zocha, that his offspring will become a Mashiach, Ben Yosef. He will defeat the Gilu Arayos of that last generation. And because of that, they were able to defeat the enemy of Israel, Edom. And bring then, the next level will be Mashiach Ben David. So Dafka, Mashiach Ben Yosef, he's called the Shomer HaBris. He kept the Bris. And this goes back to the Bris Milah. The Bris Milah is the bris to stand up against the test of Gilu Arayos. So from Avraham Avinu, Avraham Avinu is the man whose name is on a mitzvah. Which mitzvah? The mitzvah of Milah, which means to stand against temptations of immorality. That's what the bris Milah is. Avraham Avinu is the one who modeled it by going to Mitzrayim. Then it's followed later, a few generations later, by Yosef in Mitzrayim. So that's the zechus to defeat the four kingdoms, especially the last one, which is Edom. Okay. So now that's the Shem Shmuel's piece, an excellent piece. But then, So he says that's very relevant to us because we clearly are living in very close to the end of all the exiles and this, and suffering of the Jews, because we're Baruch Hashem back in Eretz Yisrael, and we have almost a majority, if not already a majority, of the Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael is growing, and Shalayim is booming. And it's a very good time to be Jewish today. And many goyim atak converting, like it's predicted, that, like by Mordechai, Abbe Ma'ame Haaretz Mesiadim. So there's a lot of converts today. So it's all because signs of Mashiach. You know that in the 1,800 years of Golos in Europe or North Africa, Middle East, you could count the number of converts on the fingers of one or two hands. You had a convert once every 100 years. Because people never, no Christian becomes Jewish, no Muslim becomes Jewish. All of a sudden today you have thousands of Christians and thousands of Muslims and Hindus. All kinds of people are becoming complete from Jews. It's unbelievable. Never was that. It's not since the time of Mordechai and Esther we have such a phenomenon of so many of non-Jews becoming Jewish. So it's a sign of Mashiach, like the sign of the Jews coming back to Israel and living in Israel and building Yerushalayim. All of this is going on during a tremendous test of Gilui Arayos. We're living in a world which is completely drowning in immorality, sexual immorality. There's no limit. Every Aveira that the Torah prohibits is not just permitted by the non-Gentile, non-Jewish world. It's even a mitzvah. They hold it's a mitzvah to have a gay lifestyle. It's a mitzvah to have sex without marriage. All kinds of weird things which are against the whole Torah. And this is the culture. This is an oval. This is considered something good. So it's literally a reenactment of the Golos of Mitzrayim. Literally, it's another period of Mitzrayim. And according to Shem Shmuel, this is exactly what Avraham Avinu, in that Yerida to Mitzrayim, was going through as a symbol to teach us that in order to defeat all the enemies, especially the final enemy, you have to be very strong about Gilui Arayos. Very strong. And so he finishes off with a piece of advice from his grandfather, which is an important piece of advice for us. So if we're living in such a tough time, just such full of immorality, so what's the defense? What's the strategy? So he says, from his grandfather, the Kotzker Rebbe, says that the strategy for defense is to learn Gemara. We learned this in the Gemara Kedushin a few days ago. Gemara says the Yetzer is very strong. Barasi Yetzer Hara, Barasi Torah, Tavlin. I made the Torah as the antidote for the Yetzer Hara. And he says that, so things like this, also Chassidus says that Gilui Arayos begins in the head. It's a mental condition, because a person decides to fantasize and think about women. But if he wouldn't fantasize and think, he wouldn't have the problem of Gilui Arayos. So it begins in the brain. That's a famous Chassidish idea. So Mamela, according to this, he says, so what's the solution? The solution is to get your brain into what? Into learning Gemara. Why Gemara? Because Gemara requires the most brain power. Gemara requires more brain power than learning a Pasuk Chumash. You have to think. So since it has to make you think more and more, the more you think in Torah, the more you'll be able to control the problem of Gilui Arayos. Very good word. He says you have to be a giyah. You have to work very hard, be iyun, thinking about halacha, about the Gemara. If you be ma'ayin in the Gemara with your giyah, that will protect you from the immoral culture you live in. You see a very, also tremendous, interesting phenomenon nowadays, which I consider a most of Mashiach. You see that the yeshivas are booming. The more boys learning in yeshivas today in the world, since for sure, since Bayis Sheni, there was never so many people sitting and learning in yeshivas here and in Israel. Literally, well over 100,000 fellows are sitting and learning the whole day here, Israel. It's amazing. Never was. For thousands. Since we had the second basement, Rebbe Akiva had 24,000 students. We don't know how many more students there were at the time. But let's say maybe the country had 100,000 students, in those years. But today, it's for sure 100,000. So, learning Torah. So, it's because we're being tested by this immorality of Gilui Arayos. So we need a very high, strong level of Torah to fight it. So Dafka, that's where Hashem helps us with the financial ability to support so many people learning Torah the whole day. We need these people in order to fight the Gilui Arayos. The thinking in the Torah will defeat the thinking of immorality. It's very important. Now, Dafka, we have to be, you guys, you have a big challenge, a big test, but you also have a big bracha that you're living in a time of so much options for learning Torah. You don't even have to go any place. You just turn on your smartphone and you can hear a shiur. Drive in the car, you can hear Torah a shiur. You can learn Torah day and night. It's also from Hashem. Hashem wants the Torah to be very accessible so that we can fight the immorality which is around us. But it's very, very important to keep that dedication to really learning Torah, because if not, this tidal wave of immorality which is throughout the world can very, very easily engulf every one of us. And this is the defense which the Gemara says. And the Shemesh Shmuel also recommends it very highly, to be Ma'ayin in Gemara. Learn Gemara. If you learn Gemara, that'll defend you from the immorality. If you drop the Gemara, it's a big risk. Very big risk. It's very important. Okay, Rotai. So we'll stop here with the Shemesh Shmuel. Ready to start.